Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 18, Parikshit, cursed by a Brahmana boy, text 39.
Okay.
Sa, Angiraso, Brahman, Shutva, Suta, Vilapanam, Unmilya, Shankarair, Shanakair, Netre, Drishtva, Changshe, Mritoragam. Sava Angi Raso Brahman, Shrutva Suta Vilapanam, Unmilla Shanakair Netre, Drishtva Changshe Mritoragam. Sava Angi Raso Brahman, Shrutva Suta Vilapanam, Unmilya Shanakair Netre, Drishtva Changshe Mritoragam. Sava Angi Raso Brahman, Shrutva Suta Vilapanam, Unmilya Shanakair Netre, Drishtva Changshe Mritoragam.
Thank you.
Saha, he, Vai, also, Angirasaha, the Rishi born in the family of Angira, Brahman, O Shaunaka, Shrutva, on hearing, Suta, his son, Bilapanam, crying in distress, Unmilya, opening, Shanakoi, gradually, Netre, by the eye, Drishtva, by seeing, Cha, also, Angshe, on the shoulder, Mrita, dead, Uragam, snake. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. O Brahmanas, the Rishi who was born in the family of Angira Muni, hearing his son crying, gradually opened his eyes and saw the dead snake around his neck. Please repeat after me. O Brahmana, O Brahmanas, the Rishi who was born in the family of Angira, hearing his son crying, gradually opened his eyes and saw the dead snake around his neck. So this verse doesn't have any purport. So I'll move on to the next verse, which has a purport. Those who write the verse on the board should make it a point that when there is no purport, they shouldn't write that verse on the board. Skip that one. And maybe you can make a point, like this one is 39, doesn't have a purport, so 40 has a small purport. So write the verse 40 on the board, and on top you write 39, 40, which will indicate that 39 doesn't have a purport. That's why it has been written. Who writes the verse on the board? Oh, very good. Naika has a very beautiful handwriting. So, we can... Naika, you understood what to do? So, verse 40. Vishrijya tangcha papracha vatsa kashmadhi rodisi tena vate pakritam tena vate pakritam ittuktaha sa navedayat. Vishrijya tancha praprachha vatsa kashmadhi rodisi kena vate pakritam ittukta sa navedayat. He threw the translation, he threw the dead snake aside and asked his son why he was crying, whether anyone had done him harm. On hearing this, the son explained to him what had happened. Please repeat after me. He threw the dead snake aside and asked his son why he was crying, whether anyone had done him harm. On hearing this, the son explained to him what had happened. Okay, what happened actually? Huh? What had happened? Krishna Chan?
A boy had lost my affection.
Why?
Because he was offended when his father's when my affection, the dead snake,
Okay. Does everybody know what happened? Who doesn't know what happened? Huh? So everybody knows. You don't know? You didn't come to the class? Why not? Last few days you didn't come to the class? Don't you? You came just today. Because I came. Okay. So when I don't come, don't you come to the class? How many of you don't come to the class on a regular basis? So, at least he is, we understand. Amal Bhakta, why don't you come to the class? I asked who doesn't come to the class. Anyway, those who stay in the temple, they must come to the class, morning program. Vimal, you make sure that. Does everybody come to the class? Everybody comes to the class. Every day. Bhagavatam class is very important. Not that come to the class only when big devotees come. And so make it a point. Okay, so I'll tell you the story. Parikshit Maharaj was hunting in the forest and he became very thirsty while chasing a deer, and he came to the ashram of Shamik Rishi. And there he saw Shamik Rishi was sitting in a trance. He was meditating. So king asked him if he could give him some water. And Shamik Rishi was so much absorbed in his meditation that he did not hear, he did not have any external consciousness. So Parikshit Maharaj became very angry, although he was so quite thirsty and he wanted some water and this person was not even listening to him. So he saw a dead snake there. He pulled up the dead snake with the end of his bow and put it on Shamik Rishi's neck, on his shoulder. And so then his little son got to know about that how the king has insulted his father. So he became very, very upset. And actually, according to Varnashram system, the Brahmanas are superior to Kshatriya. And he considered that a superior shouldn't have been insulted by an inferior person. And so he became very angry and he cursed Parikshit Maharaj that he would die in 7 days' time, being bitten by a snake called Takshaka. Takshaka is a celestial snake. Celestial snake means, in the higher planetary system, there are the sages. And those sages give birth to various types of living entities, various types of creatures. And one such exalted sage is Kashyap. And Kashyap is a Prajapati. And he got married to few wives. One of them was Kadru. So, as it is from Kadru, Kashyap got the sons who are the Nagas or the celestial serpents. Shesha, Vasuki, Ilapatra, Takshak, these are the sons of Kadru. Kashyap also is the father of the demigods. From Aditi he got the Adityas or the demigods. From his wife Diti he got the two Daityas, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. Similarly, through Kadru he got the snakes. And from another wife called Vinata, he got two sons, and they are Arun and Garuda. So this is how the Prajapatis procreated different types of living entities in different types of bodies. So Takshak is not an ordinary snake. These snakes have many, many heads, and on each head they have huge gems. And those gems they give out light. We get some sort of gems like diamond, sapphire from the mines. And then we have to cut them to get the refraction of the light. But the snakes have their money or jewels on their head, and they give out light. It has been described that the lower planetary systems do not have sun rays. Sun rays come only up to Bhur Loka. The lower planetary system, below Bhur Loka, below the Earth planet, they don't get the rays of the sun. But there, those planets are lit up by the jewels of the serpents. We can also consider scientifically that this is not unusual. Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nithai Ki Jai. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan Ki Jai. Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So one way we can see that the serpents have the jewel on their head, and as a result of that those jewels give out light. When the sun goes down, don't we get some kind of light here? What kind of light we get? We get electric light. How are the electric lights? Doesn't the cable look like a serpent? And then at the end of the cable there is a bulb that gives out light. Don't you see that? Now let us consider how this light comes. How these lights get lit up, bulbs get lit up? They get lit up with electricity. Right? What is electricity actually? Bimal, what is electricity? Okay, movement of electrons. Okay, good. Movement of electrons causes electricity. But what is actually electricity? Another name of electricity in Sanskrit is Pavaka. Pavaka, natat bhashayate surya, na sashanka na pavaka. So pavaka is also, pavaka also means fire. Pavaka means fire. Now, let us consider the snakes. The snakes, what do they have? Snakes have poison. What is poison also? What is poison? Ganga Narayan, what is poison? Poison is liquid fire. Poison is also fire. When one takes poison, then what happens? His body starts to burn. Right? So why does it burn? Because of the fire. So now, does it make sense? The snakes have the jewel. And where does the jewel get the light from? They get the light from the poison of the snakes. That is actually fire. So does it sound like a fairy tale? In the lower planetary system, there are huge serpents and they give out, they have gems and those jewels give out light. If small little electric bulb can give out so much light, why that cannot be possible? Okay. He threw the dead snake aside. Who threw the dead snake aside? Shamik Rishi. And asked his son, what's the name of Shamik Rishi's son? Shringi. Why he was crying? He asked his son why he was crying. And he asked whether anyone had harmed him. He was a little boy actually. Shringi at that time was just a little boy. So the father asked, what happened? Did anyone hurt him while he was crying? Then Shringi told the whole incident, what actually happened, and how he cursed the king. On hearing this, the son explained to him what had happened. So this is what he discussed. Now everybody knows what had happened. Narayan, you know what has happened? You understand? You know? Okay. Very good. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The father did not take the dead snake on his neck very seriously. He simply threw it away. Actually, there was nothing seriously wrong in Maharaj Parikshit's act. But the foolish son took it very seriously. And being influenced by Kali, he cursed the king and thus ended a chapter of happy history. So, when Shamik Rishi got to know about that, what that his son has cursed, because of a trivial incident, that the king had put a dead snake around his neck, because he did not respond to him, the father became very, very disturbed. That unnecessarily he cursed, his son has cursed an innocent king who was a very exalted personality. He was a great devotee of Krishna and he was the perfect ruler under his ruling. Although the Kali Yuga began, Kali could not enter into this planet. And now that the king has been cursed, he was lamenting now. If the what will happen if the king dies? And he also considered that it was such a disgrace to his family that his son has cursed an innocent king. Now apparently it may seem that that Parikshit Maharaj was wrong. That he got angry, he put a dead snake on the meditating Rishi's neck. It may apparently sound that it was wrong, but it was not wrong. Why? Because a king by nature, a kshatriya by nature, is in the mode of passion. And as a result of that, he can become angry. When a kshatriya becomes angry, it should not be taken seriously. But on the part of Sringi, getting angry on Parikshit Maharaj was wrong. Why? Because he, being a Brahmana, he was supposed to be in the mode of goodness. And in a mode of goodness, one doesn't get angry. A Brahmana shouldn't get angry. But a Kshatriya can get angry. And that's why Sringi has been described as a Brahma Bandhu. He was not a Brahmana, but he was a friend of a Brahmana. Brahma Bandhu. He was not qualitatively, he was not a Brahmana. And a Kshatriya king, even if he got angry, that's why when Shamik Rishi came back, came out of his meditation, and saw the dead snake, he didn't even bother. He just threw it aside. Just threw it aside. What's the big deal? But on part of Sringi, it was a mistake. And it has been pointed out that Sringi was actually influenced by Kali. Parikshit Maharaj was such a noble king, he was such a perfect ideal king that Kali could not enter during Parikshit Maharaj's time. So he thought, Kali thought, that in order to establish his authority over this planet, he has to get rid of this king. And he caused this Brahmana boy to curse. Kali could not do anything to Parikshit Maharaj. But therefore he induced the Brahmana boy. Kali actually got this Brahmana boy to curse Parikshit Maharaj. And Prabhupada has pointed out in the purport that's how a happy history of a chapter ended. The happy history of the chapter was that a noble king, an ideal king like Parikshit Maharaj was ruling the kingdom. So when a perfect ruler rules the kingdom there, everybody becomes happy. In Parikshit Maharaj's ruling, everyone was happy. But now Parikshit Maharaj has been cursed. And in this way, when Parikshit Maharaj left his body due to this curse, Kali entered. And now we can see what happened to the earth. The whole earth planet has become totally under Kali's influence. As a result of that, all the sinful activities are increasing. Adharma has been established and people are just indulging in the four principles of adharma. Meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex and gambling. During Parikshit Maharaj's time, that was not happening. During Parikshit Maharaj's time, everyone was perfectly happy. Everyone was perfectly situated on the path of Dharma. Everyone. That means nobody at that time was taking meat or non-vegetarian food. Yes, some people were taking, but they used to live in the forest. Those who wanted to eat meat, they had to live in the forest, and they had to hunt the animals and eat their meat. Meat was not being sold in the shops like today. Meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex and gambling. These are the four sinful activities. So these four sinful activities were not happening. People were not indulging in these sinful activities at the time of Parikshit Maharaj's rule. So, as a result of that, Parkali became very disturbed. Like, he was thinking, how to establish his kingdom now? He got his right. The Kali Yuga began and he is the ruler, and in this age he would establish Adharma. But Parikshit Maharaj, an ideal king, establishes, he protects Dharma. An ideal king's business is to protect Dharma. But Kali's agents establish Adharma. So an ideal ruler, ideal king, Parikshit Maharaj left, and now the world has become under the clutches of the Kali's agents, and they are establishing Adharma everywhere. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada came to establish Dharma again. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. Krishna came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to establish Dharma. Whenever there is the decline of Dharma and increase of Adharma, then what happens? Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. Abhuthanam adharmasya tadatmanam shrijamaham. Krishna comes to establish Dharma. When adharma increases, then Krishna comes to establish dharma. So did Krishna come to establish dharma in this age? Yes or no? Yes. Who came to establish dharma in this age? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established the Sankirtan movement. And because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to establish Dharma, he first reinforces the pillars of Dharma. What are the four pillars of Dharma? Austerity, mercy, cleanliness and truthfulness. So when he comes, he establishes the pillars of Dharma and he inspires everyone to follow the four regulative principles. If we follow the four regulative principles, then what happens? When you follow the four regulative principles, then the four pillars of Dharma become established. So that is why those who are followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must very diligently follow these four regulative principles. No meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. And then he must perform the activities of dharma. So what are the acts of dharma in this age? What is the yuga dharma for this age? The yuga dharma is sankirtan. Jagai sankirtana prayu. So the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the followers of Srila Prabhupada, must chant the yuga dharma, singing or dancing and or silently meditating. That is a sankirtan of the yuga dharma of this age. So we must very carefully perform these principles. We must very carefully observe these four principles, four regulative principles, and we must chant the holy name of the Lord. Anything else is needed for making spiritual advancement and going back to Godhead? In this age, anything else is needed? Partha? No? Sure? Why not? Yeah. So, because this is the yuga dharma, we simply have to perform the yuga dharma. But when we perform dharma, then we have to follow the four principles. Anybody who wants to perform the path of dharma or want to make spiritual advancement must follow these four principles. That is, no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and no gambling. So when one practices this process of for Krishna consciousness by following these principles and chanting Hare Krishna, he will automatically become situated in his spiritual identity. Very simple process. Not at all difficult. And as it has been pointed out, like a Brahmana is not so easily perturbed, not so easily disturbed. Because a Brahmana is situated in a mode of goodness. Whereas a Vaishya, a Kshatriya, who is in a mode of passion, his behavior is going to be different. Like a Kshatriyas are very powerful, they're very passionate, they get very angry, they also speak very harshly sometimes, but that shouldn't be taken seriously. Okay, Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari. Does anybody have any question? What is your understanding of when a Vaishnava gets angry, what should he do? What should he do? Yeah. Or should he pick up a stick and start to fight? Yeah, that's the thing. A Vaishnava will avoid any kind of conflict and fight. Should leave. Because if you start fighting, then there is no end to it. there won't be any end. The end will be either both of them are dead, or one of them is dead. Right? So better avoid any conflict. Even if there is reasons to be conflict, reasons to be angry, one should not be angry. One should not fight. Okay. Any other question?
She is asking that everything is controlled by Krishna and Shrindi cursed Parikshit Maharaj, but he did it by mistake. So does this mistake also controlled by Krishna, or we do mistake, so it is controlled by Krishna, or we do because we want to do mistake?
Everything is controlled by Krishna, but that doesn't mean that Krishna is doing everything. You have your karma. Right? Everything is controlled by Krishna. How? Krishna is controlling by guna and karma. You are acting, and Krishna has set the guna karma consideration. Right? Krishna is not interfering. But as you are acting, accordingly you will get the result. Right? Because of guna and karma. The modes of material nature and action.
Guru Maharaj, Sri Patanjali Pusha Jatne, ki jab Mahabharata ki, us samay to Kali Yuga ka prabhav nahi tha, to Pandavo ne jo chaupat kiya tha, matlab ek tarah se dua hi hota tha, Kali Yuga ka prabhav nahi hote the, bhi unhone dua kiya.
Pasha, kya bolta hai usko?
Chaupat.
Chaupat. हाँ, क्षत्रिय के लिए उस समय, उस जमाना में, उस युग में ये खेलना विहित था, ऑथराइज था. केवल ऑथराइज ही नहीं, जब क्षत्रिय को चैलेंज किया जाता है तो क्षत्रिय उसको रिफ्यूज नहीं कर सकते थे. इसलिए युधिष्ठिर महाराज को खेलना पड़ा. पर इस कलियुग में वो भी खेलना नहीं चाहिए. द्वापर युग में खेलने से अगर ऐसा हाल हुआ तो कलियुग में क्या होगा. और पहले जो द्वापर युग में जो खेलते थे चौपट, उसमें कोई चीटिंग नहीं होता था. पर उस समय जो खेला था उसमें चीटिंग शुरू हो गया था. शकुनी चीटिंग कर रहा था, चीटिंग करके हराया था. ठीक है. ओके. हरे कृष्णा. एनी अदर क्वेश्चन? हाँ, यस जमुना. Take the mic. Intoxication of? Yeah, that is like intoxication, but it's not the real intoxication. Like, real intoxication has its effect. You see, like, it is a drug, it is some substance. When one takes it, gets affected by that. Now, but that result of that, name, fame, or pride and vanity, is also, its result is somewhat like that, same. What happens when one gets intoxicated? He thinks that he is the greatest, right? My name and fame, also one thinks that he is the greatest. So the result is the same, and both are equally bad. So one should not even become intoxicated by name and fame. Intoxicated by position. Therefore, you should always maintain a very humble attitude to safeguard ourselves from that intoxication by being humble, by being Trinadopi Shunichena Tarori Vashahishmana. We should become very humble and very tolerant. Then we won't become intoxicated. Yeah. I think you switched it off.
Well, just a question further on than that. This was always in my mind for a long time. That when we discuss the analogous in genetics, that we offer respect to everyone, but we do not expect anything in return. So I just suddenly wonder what is trying to execute this in the community. But if one gets taken for granted, or one is just being taken for granted, or in some way being mistreated, being in that humble mood. Maybe mistreated is not the right word, but to that effect. But like, what is a devotee's, what should be the devotee's mood so he does not stop maintaining that mood of the humility?
So what you actually mean is that if somebody takes advantage of one's humble disposition and well, you see, one should not do anything artificially. One should be natural. Like, one is not really that humble. One is not really that humble, but he is pretending to be humble, then it won't work. This humbleness is not something that we cultivate ourselves. This humbleness is actually the result of our becoming Krishna conscious. We automatically become humble. How does one automatically become humble? One automatically becomes humble when one recognizes his insignificant position. In the material nature, why we are naturally proud? Because in relation to matter, we are superior. Therefore, in the material nature, everyone is thinking that I am the greatest. But in the spiritual nature, everyone is more humble than a blade of grass, and more tolerant than a tree. Why? Because in the spiritual world, everybody knows how insignificant he is. And how does one recognize his insignificant position? By seeing himself in relation to Krishna. That Krishna is the greatest. Krishna is so great. So naturally, when we become exposed to Krishna, we become humble. To make this point clear, I'll just give an example. You see, Akbar was a great Mughal king. You heard of Akbar? Okay. In Akbar's court, Akbar had a minister. His name was Birbal. Birbal was very famous for his wit, his intelligence. So, and as a result of that, Birbal was very, very dear to Akbar. Akbar had a lot of confidence in him, and he was very dear. So other ministers became envious that Akbar was favoring him so much. So then when Akbar got to know about that, he said, I favor him because of what he is. Like, he's so intelligent, he's so smart. Then they couldn't understand why Akbar was saying that, because they were thinking that we are less in what respect? We are greater than him. So just to prove Birbal's extraordinary intelligence, one day Akbar came to his court. When he came to his court, he drew a line on the floor with a chalk and he asked his minister, can any of you make this line shorter without wiping it? Without wiping it? Can anyone, you can make this line become shorter? They all became completely bewildered. How can the line be made shorter without wiping it? So when no one could do that, then Akbar asked Birbal, Birbal, can you make this line shorter? Birbal said, no problem. So he went and he drew another line larger than that line next to that. He said, now your line is shorter. So big and small is actually a matter of relativity. If we are in relation to someone small, then we'll become big. But if we are in relation to someone greater, then we'll become smaller. Therefore, in spiritual consciousness, everyone becomes very humble. Because in spiritual consciousness, when one recognizes the greatness of Krishna and his devotees, he automatically becomes humble. He doesn't have to practice the art of humility, right? He doesn't have to practice to become humble. He'll automatically become humble by seeing Krishna's greatness. And the reality is that closer we get to Krishna, make more advanced spiritual advancement we make, we get closer to Krishna. And as we get closer to Krishna, we get to see Krishna's greatness, and in relation to that greatness, we get to see our insignificant position. And that is how we naturally become humble. And we become dependent upon Krishna. Okay, Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hare Krishna.